ever go to the second location, always trust your gut.
Hello, my name is Chrissy Champagne, and you are listening to Residue, a true crime podcast dedicated to keeping you paranoid. Okay, you guys, you know that we are doing made-for-TV movies, Lifetime movies, regular old theatrical movies, and telling you the true story behind those films. So today, we are going to Lifetime. Lifetime Movie Network, one of our favorite places in the world, and we are going to discuss the film that was made in 2021 titled Left 4 Dead, The Ashley Reeves Story. And now this movie stars one of our favorite Lifetime movie actresses of all time, Jenny Garth. I mean, is it even really a made-for-television film if it doesn't star somebody from 90210? Okay, before we begin, let's just get all of the business stuff out of the way. So you can find me on Instagram at Residue Podcast, TikTok Residue A True Crime Pod, Facebook Residue A True Crime Podcast. And I've always got to let you know that the best thing you could possibly do for any podcaster that you love is leave a 5-star review. I know that all of the podcasters that I am friends with work their asses off. They do everything themselves. And as you know, I write, edit, research, produce, and created and host this show. We all do a lot. So it means so much to us when you let us know that you're really enjoying the show. And leaving a 5-star review is probably the easiest way for you to help push the show out to even bigger audiences. I am just so happy you are all here today, my residudes, and I just wanted to thank you for all the lovely DMs, the wonderful reviews. Stickers are going out this week, and I wanted to thank you so much for all of that support. It means the world to me. I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. I know you can see that follow button right there. Ooh, follow me if you care. Sort of just took over that song on my own, but yes, please hit that follow button if you would love to meet all of us back here next Tuesday at midnight for another episode of Residue. Thank you so much for being here, and as always, I have to warn you, listener discretion is advised. The Lifetime movie Left 4 Dead, The Ashley Reeves Story was released in 2021, and this movie is the true story of 17-year-old Ashley Reeves, who is left for dead in the woods following a brutal attack. I don't want to give too much away about the plot, just in case some of you haven't seen this movie yet, and as I mentioned in the beginning, it does star our Lifetime movie queen, Jenny Garth, as Michelle, the mother of Ashley Reeves. This movie was directed by Gloria Kim, and it was filmed entirely in Ontario, Canada, specifically Hamilton, Ontario. And I do have to mention that Jenny Garth is pretty fantastic in this movie. That girl is like the queen of crying scenes. She can cry on cue perfectly. And I just feel like Jenny Garth needs a lot more recognition because that girl can act. I will read you one review from Letterboxd about the movie Left 4 Dead. This review is in all capital letters. It was written by Cool Cat Cassie, and it says, "How did people sympathize with this man? I do not understand." And I have to say, I agree with you, Cassie, on all of those points in the movie and in real life. It was just frustrating to watch this movie and just be like, you wanted to shake everyone in it and go, "What are you talking about?" But I don't want to give away too much because I want to tell you the true story behind the film Left 4 Dead. Seventeen-year-old Ashley Reeves was a junior in high school in Millstadt, Illinois. She had a longtime boyfriend named Jeremy Smith. She was smart, motivated, very popular, very down to earth, and she was one of those kids who never really got into any kind of trouble. And she also had a best friend in her younger sister, Casey. And now I want to warn you right off the bat here that we are going to get very angry together at this story. We are going to want to punch a wall listening to what this girl went through. On Thursday, April 27th, 2006, Ashley tells her family that after school, she has a job interview. And then she plans on going to a local park and playing basketball. So her parents didn't expect her home after school right away. She actually ends up borrowing her longtime boyfriend Jeremy's SUV because he's going to be out of town. So he lets her have the keys. He's like, take my car to your job interview. Good luck, babe. So Ashley leaves school, drops her sister off at home, and then takes the SUV to her job interview. Now, she was supposed to go play basketball around 3:30 at the park. So around 10 o'clock at night, nobody has heard from Ashley, and her parents are getting really worried because Ashley's not the kind of kid who doesn't show up for curfew. And if she's going to be late, she's going to call. So they're a little nervous. It's 10 o'clock. She's been gone all evening since school ended. Now it's 10:30, and her mother, Michelle, is frantic. So she immediately calls 911, tells them her daughter's missing. And at first, the police that arrive to take the statements, they're like, maybe she just isn't coming home. She's just missing curfew. But after learning about what kind of girl Ashley was, they immediately knew something's up. Something's going on. And they find Jeremy's SUV at that park. And inside of the car are Ashley's clothes for the job interview and Ashley's basketball clothes. But Ashley is nowhere to be found. Immediately, they want to talk to her boyfriend, Jeremy. And he says he wants to find her just as much as they do. He was out of town when Ashley went missing, and he has not spoken to her, has no idea where she is. He said that the last time he spoke to her was around noon when she texted him that after the job interview, she's going to go to the basketball court. So that is the last thing that Jeremy knew about her day. The police, they ruled Jeremy out pretty quickly because they just have a feeling. They have a feeling that he has nothing to do with it, and he's just as upset as everyone else is. Police immediately go to Ashley's friends, her best friends, and they find out from one of her friends that Ashley was seeing someone that nobody knew about. She was seeing a man named Samson Shelton, and everyone just knew him as Sam. He was a teacher at their high school. He was a driver's ed teacher and a PE teacher. And Sam was 26 years old. And all of the girls at this high school just thought Sam was so hot. He was like the young teacher at school that all of the high school girls had a little crush on. And he loved the attention. He encouraged the attention from high school girls. A couple more details about Sam. Sam lived with his grandmother and his mom, and he was also an amateur wrestler. I'm going to give you a couple seconds to try and guess what Sam's wrestling name was. Okay, go. 1, 2, 3. The Teacher. He called himself The Teacher. I don't like that name, and I don't like Sam, and I'm sure you can already tell by the tone of my voice. While detectives are talking to all of Ashley's friends, her sister Casey and her mother Michelle start going through the phone bill, looking at all of the phone numbers that Ashley has recently called. And there's one phone number that just keeps showing up over and over and over. And they find out that that phone number belongs to Sam. So they call it. And Sam is just not very interested in taking their phone call. Michelle, Ashley's mother, calls. Do you know where Ashley is? She's been missing. We know that she went to go play basketball, possibly with you. Sam's like, yeah, I have no idea, but good luck. Bye. Hangs up on them. Immediately, Detectives are going to be bringing Sam straight into an interrogation room. Sam is brought in on April 28th, 2006, the day after Ashley went missing. The cops are immediately on him, saying, "Do you want to come clean? Because, guy, your ship is sinking." And Sam isn't really giving anything up. He's not saying much. He just keeps saying, "Listen, Ashley and I were just friends. Everything was completely platonic." He actually said that Ashley was obsessed with him and he's been trying his hardest to dodge her. He didn't want to see her around town because he thought it was not appropriate that he's a teacher who's 26 and she's just 17, and he didn't really want this girl to become obsessed with him. So at first, Sam is not really answering any questions, but then he says, "Okay, listen, I never kissed Ashley, but we did have sex. And I felt terrible about it. I just felt so awful. I thought, you know what? We can never do this again." There is a link to Sam's full interrogation in my show notes because you got to see this guy. Just the arrogant attitude that he has. And he's wearing a baseball uniform because he must have been asked to come in right after he had some baseball game. But I don't know. It just makes him look a little more childish than he's already acting. Detectives learn that Ashley and Sam had sex, according to Sam. So now they're pressing him even harder. And he finally says, "Okay, listen, I left Ashley on the side of the road that night because she was screaming and kicking and throwing a fit inside of the car because I told her that I don't want to see her anymore. We have to end this." And she just wouldn't get out of my car. So I get her out of my car and I left her on the side of the road and then I just drove away. I have no idea what happened to her after I drove away. "Well, where did you go after you drove away, Sam?" "Oh, Sam went to a bar and he went line dancing with a date. He called a girl and made a date to go line dancing after he says that he left Ashley on the side of the road." So detectives say, "You know, were you worried about her? Do you think that she could have gotten hurt?" And his response is one of the craziest responses that I've ever heard. In an interrogation, he starts telling this detective, and he says that he talks like this. He's like, "You know, like, I have a really weak tummy, and I can't really handle all that gore. I can't even watch that new Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. You know, the new one that just came out? I couldn't even make it past a couple minutes. That's how weak my stomach is. So I was just kind of worried that if I drove back and Ashley was really hurt, I would never be able to see that. I wouldn't even be able to help her because, you know, my eyes can't handle something like that." Sam says, "If I saw her laying in a ditch or something, I mean, I wouldn't be able to handle that. There's no way. I have a weak stomach. I would have felt horrible." And then he goes on to talk more about, you know, gore movies and Texas Chainsaw Massacre. At this point, the cops are just getting beyond frustrated with this guy. Detectives are getting absolutely nowhere with Sam, and they've been in there quite a while. So one big break comes when Sam has to go to the bathroom. So they let Sam go into the hallway and go to the bathroom, and it's at this point that he runs into a man he knows. And this man is lead detective Stephen Johnson. And Stephen Johnson knew Sam because Sam was in this law enforcement explorer group. It was a part of the Boy Scouts. And so he knew Sam growing up and he knew Sam's mother and his grandma. So Detective Johnson takes over the interview. And when he gets in there, it's just pure genius the way he manipulates Sam into admitting everything that he did. So he starts talking to Sam about his grandma. And he just calls her grandma. Like he's, you know, best friends with Sam. He starts saying, "What would grandma do if she knew you did something to that girl?" And Sam says he wants to talk to his grandma. And Detective Johnson says, "Well, everything that grandma taught you, everything that mom taught you, it's already inside of you. And you know what you have to do. You know you need to tell us the truth for your mom and for your grandma." And that's when Sam starts crying. Detectives ask Sam, "Is she still out there?" And Sam says to them, "Yes, I'll show you." If you're into true hauntings, unsolved vanishings, and stories that'll keep you up at night, you need to check out Creepy Shit. Every Monday, host Star dives into real hauntings, mysterious vanishings, paranormal encounters, and the darkest corners of history. These aren't made-up campfire stories. These are documented cases that'll make you question what's actually possible. If you're the type of person who loves a good scare and can't resist a mystery, Creepy Shit is about to become your new obsession. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Search for Creepy Shit on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today. Because sometimes the creepiest shit is also the truest. So finally, after 12 hours of interrogation and wearing his little baseball uniform, Sam Shelton finally tells detectives where they can find Ashley Reeves' body. And he takes them deep into the woods. So he says that he dragged Ashley into the woods of a public park. And now detectives and Sam, they are in these woods. It's dark, it's rainy, it's cold, and he can't remember where she is. They're walking around for about 30 minutes, and Sam has no idea where they are going. And there is actually a couple of different true crime documentaries that show this actual footage. And let me tell you, it is terrifying. It is chilling because they do find Ashley's body and it is in this footage. So detectives think that Sam is just bullshitting them at this point. Like, this guy is just lying. He doesn't know where he's going. But then they finally see Ashley's body. One of the detectives' flashlights, it shines on Ashley and she is laying on the ground. She has been here for over 30 hours. Detectives immediately think that Ashley is deceased. There are thousands of bugs all over her body, thousands of bug bites. And they are looking down at her and they're all just in shock at what this girl went through. And that is when one of the detectives sees Ashley's chest just and take a little breath. And he just starts saying, "She's breathing. She's breathing. She's alive." That is right, you guys. This is a survival story. And I wanted to try to keep that from you as long as I could. They get the EMTs down there as quick as possible. And the EMTs are telling the detectives there's no way that she's going to make it out of these woods. But Ashley does make it out of those woods because Ashley is a badass. But the road to recovery is not going to be easy for Ashley. And because she had lost so much oxygen to her brain that she was going to go through months of rehabilitation, she had to learn how to do everything over again, how to walk, how to eat, how to drink water. But Ashley said that she is a fighter and all she wanted to do was just push herself harder and harder to recover. And Ashley didn't remember anything that happened to her. She didn't remember the few days before she went missing, and she didn't remember what happened that day with Sam. Now it is back to the interrogation room with Sam. We need to figure out what happened that night. Sam says that they got into an argument and she wouldn't get out of his car. So he put her in a wrestling chokehold. And he said while he was doing this wrestling chokehold to this 17-year-old girl that he heard her neck pop. And so he figured, oh my God, I just broke her neck. He then says that he dragged her body deep into the woods because he was going to hide her body and pretend that somebody else found her in the woods and strangled her. Wasn't him. He was line dancing. He was out with another girl. So that was his plan. So he gets her into the woods and Ashley's still conscious. She makes a little noise and Sam is like, okay, she's still alive. So does he go get help? No, Sam doesn't do that. Sam takes off his belt and he wraps it around Ashley's neck while she is face down on the ground, hardly able to move. And he puts his foot on her back to get a better grip on that belt. And he just keeps pulling that belt and choking Ashley until that belt breaks. And he believes at that moment that Ashley is dead. And then he covers her up with dirt and leaves. And he leaves her there. And he goes dancing with another girl. I'm going to read to you something that Sam said in his interrogation after he found out that they found Ashley alive. Sam says, "I was a nervous wreck thinking, what do I do? What do I do? I wanted to make it look like she got strangled there in the woods. Choking her didn't work. So then I took the belt and pulled for I don't know how long. I had to turn my head because I didn't want to see. Then I heard a gurgle, and when I heard a gurgle, I let go." This man is telling this to the detectives like, oh, poor me. He's the victim in this situation because he had to witness this situation. Very nonchalantly, I might add, Sam goes on to say, "When I was done, when I let go, she had spit and foam coming out of her mouth. And when I was done, she was the sickest color I have ever seen. Her tongue was hanging out of her mouth. And that is when he strangled her." He says, "I just took off. I literally darted out of there like a bat out of hell." Those are his exact words. Right after saying all of this, very casually, very victim-esque, is that a word? He says, "Can I take my contacts out and get my toothbrush? Can I have a private toilet? Because I can't pee in front of other people. I'll just be so miserable if I can't pee." And this cop just goes, no, I don't think that's going to happen, Sam. So if you're getting a little feel of Sam's personality, his woe is me victim mentality, little boy gets everything that he wants, that might be because of his mother and his grandmother. Because his mother and his grandmother think that he is just the sweetest little thing. This boy could do no wrong. Of course my son didn't do this. Are you guys kidding me? His family was upset with this extensive publicity, this negative publicity that this case was receiving because they believed that Sam was unfairly portrayed. Sam, who just admitted that he put a girl in a chokehold, put her on the ground, stuck his foot on top of her, pulled a belt around her neck, heard a crack, buried her, and left. He's being so unfairly portrayed in the media. I don't know how this lady thinks she's going to spin this into making people believe that this child man-child, is innocent. But guess what? People in town really do. They really think, oh, come on, Sam's just the greatest. He's such a good teacher. And in the movie, this is really pushed. Like, they show you what the family had to go through with teachers, with friends, with Sam's family. People just thought, he's such a good guy. He would never do this. Come on, you guys. He just literally admitted every single thing. Sam is arrested and charged with attempted murder, but he makes bail. And while he is out on bail, he tries to take his own life. So he's released, awaiting trial, and he is back at home living with his mom and his grandma. He ingests prescription pills and Jägermeister, and then help is needed. Somebody calls 911 to come save Sam, and on his chest, underneath his shirt, Sam wrote, "Do not resuscitate me," or something to the effect of, "I don't want to live, don't help me." The EMTs, the hospital staff, they all said that this felt like it was not a legitimate attempt to take his life. Like, this was all for show. He was hitting, he was spitting, he was punching the EMTs. Sam Shelton ends up taking a plea deal. So there will be no trial. Ashley's not going to have to relive this, but she wanted to. She wanted a face-to-face with him. She wanted an apology. She wanted to know why. So Sam pleaded guilty to attempted first-degree murder, and he was given 20 years. Susan Shelton, Sam's mother, said the family, quote, reluctantly settled for the plea deal, insisting that Sam would not have gotten a fair trial because of the, quote, continuing demonization of Sam. I am so dumbfounded by how this woman is rationalizing this in her head. How is she coming to the conclusion that her son is a little angel who did nothing wrong? I am so confused by this case. I'm not even confused as much as I'm pissed off. Can you imagine being Ashley's mother? And you have to watch this woman go on the news. I got this quote from a CBS News article. You have to watch her on the news knowing that your daughter is still in a hospital learning how to walk again. She can't swallow. She can't eat food. She can't talk. And this lady is like, my son is being demonized. I would have raged on the whole town. Sam was sentenced in 2007 for 20 years. This is when Ashley spoke to CBS News and she said, I'm glad it's over with. She, at this time in 2007, was still continuing to undergo rehabilitation from her broken neck. So she was just saying, I want to continue with my life and not worry about this anymore. A few years back, Ashley spoke with Crime Watch Daily. I have this whole interview linked in my show notes so that you can watch it. And on that show, Ashley gave an interview and she spoke with Elizabeth Smart, who also talked about seeing her captors in interrogation tapes. So Elizabeth Smart, who was also famously kidnapped and then rescued, she interviewed Ashley Reeves and she asked her, have you ever watched the video of when the detectives find you? And Ashley told her that she did watch a little bit of it. She watched it until the point where the detectives came upon her body, but it was a lot. She couldn't watch after seeing herself on the ground. It was too upsetting. In that interview, Ashley said, I don't remember days or weeks prior to what happened to me. And she said that she does remember that she was trying to end the relationship with Sam that day, and he wouldn't let her, and he started a fight. She said that she kind of doesn't want to remember all of the details, but she does remember that in their relationship, during their relationship, Sam was very controlling. He was always calling her. He wanted to know where she was. He didn't want her talking to other guys. Ashley says that Sam didn't like to hear the word no. He always got his way, and he would throw little tantrums if he didn't get his way. So knowing that about Sam and that he didn't want her around other people, he didn't like her being with her friends, we have to go back to the beginning and remember that Ashley had a boyfriend. She was dating Jeremy. Jeremy let her borrow his car that day. So I have searched trying to figure this out. The only info I got was from the made-for-television film, Left for Dead, the Ashley Reeves story. In that movie, the actor who plays Jeremy, this character is always helping Ashley, even when she's in the hospital. He is her biggest supporter. He helps her get home. He helps her when she's at home with anything she needs. He's always by her side. So I'm wondering if that's the way it was in real life. I do imagine that it had to be really hard for Jeremy being a teenager and finding out that this happened to your girlfriend and then also finding out she's been cheating on you, because nobody knew that Ashley was dating Sam. She wasn't allowed to tell anyone. She told a couple friends that she was hanging out with him. She never told her mother. She definitely didn't tell Jeremy. So I wonder how hard that was for him to find out that all of this happened and then to stay by her side and help her through this. At the end of the movie, Left 4 Dead, you find out that Ashley Reeves has moved on. She has recovered from her attack and focused on moving forward with her life. She has two children and she became a caregiver. Ashley says that she thinks it's important to share her story because it's important for people to know that they should never give up. There are bigger and better things out there. Every day is a struggle, but you have to keep on trudging. Ashley Reeves is a strong-ass woman. Samson Sam Shelton was released after serving 17 years, or 85% of his 20-year sentence for trying to kill 17-year-old Ashley Reeves. He's a free man. He's walking the streets. He might be trying to wrestle again. He was released in 2024, and Sam Shelton is scheduled to go off of parole on April 22nd, 2027. So the teacher, everyone's favorite amateur wrestler, he's free. Just remember Ashley's words, don't give up. Don't ever give up on yourself. There's bigger things out there. I've gone through plenty of hardship, and I just keep on fighting. Stay safe and stay paranoid.